righty. Let's get going with our highlights of the game. Then we'll get feedback from Josh, who's back home in Southern California. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood. The Anaheim Ducks record a nice win here on the road against Arizona. And actually, the game started off in a pretty good manner with the Ducks getting the only goal in the first period.
Yeah, Ducks had played a really strong first period, but were shorthanded after a cross-checking penalty on Ryan Strom late in the period. Ducks managed to kill that penalty. In fact, did not even surrender a shot on goal. And shortly thereafter, the Ducks able to get the game's first goal. Troy Terry with a pass from the right wing, finding Frank Vetrano in the slot. And Vetrano with a nice shot to beat Connor Ingram. Vetrano, his eighth goal of the season from Terry at 17:38. That was the only goal of the first period.
And speaking of Troy Terry, in the second period early on, that's where we give you, our listeners, our play of the game. It's brought to you by PDF Tron. It's changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. The goal by Troy Terry. Early moments, period two, gave the Ducks a two-goal lead. Contact. Going to have to look at a replay, but Max in a little bit of discomfort. A shot, score by Troy Terry, who fired the puck over the shoulder of Ingram. While Jones was slowly going off to the bench, and Anaheim gets their second tally of the game. Early in the second, it's 2-0.
Yeah, Max Jones had been slashed by Arizona defenseman Juuso Välimäki. The Ducks on a delayed penalty sequence here. Troy Terry able to get into the Arizona zone and made a terrific move around Dylan Gunther on right wing, skated into the bottom of the left or the right wing faceoff circle and snapped a shot short side that beat Connor Ingram. For Terry, his 13th goal of the season, snapping a 16-game goal drought. Cam Fowler and Jason Megna with the assists on that goal. It gave the Ducks a 2-0 lead and resulted in a major penalty on Välimäki for the slash on Jones. That put the Ducks on a 5-minute power play.
And a guy by the name of Cam Fowler, you just heard from at our postgame show, would make the Coyotes pay for that.
Yeah, Troy Terry with points on each of the Ducks' first three goals here. He fed Cam Fowler from the right wing. Fowler in the slot. Put a shot past Ingram for his sixth goal of the season. Troy Terry and Trevor Zegras with the assist. That goal just 45 seconds after Terry had made it 2-0. And the assist for Trevor Zegras stretched his career high scoring streak to six consecutive games.
So we get into the third and final period, and there's that number four again doing some great things offensively.
Yeah, nice little dish from Kevin Shattenkirk. Cam Fowler was locked and loaded with the one-timer straight on from just inside the blue line, and he blew it past Connor Ingram on the blocker side. Fowler's second goal of the game, seventh of the season from Shattenkirk and Frank Vetrano, who enjoyed a two-point night. That made it 4-0 Ducks at 3:02 of the third.
And then the Coyotes put a little scare, I guess that's a key word, something that makes sense here, into the Ducks as they get the next two just past the halfway point of the third to put a little something in their minds to know that they're not out of it yet.
Yeah, a couple of mistakes by the Ducks led directly to the Arizona goals. First, it was a defensive zone turnover by Ducks defenseman Simon Benoit that enabled Arizona's Barrett Hayton to go one-on-one against Anthony Stolarz. Hayton, with a nice move to his backhand, beat Stolarz up high. The unassisted goal at 10:44 made it 4-1. And then a slashing penalty on Trevor Zegras gave Arizona the power play that Nick Schmaltz converted at 14:34. Kind of an odd play. Coyotes defenseman Jacob Chychrun with a shot attempt from the left side. His stick blew up on him, but Barrett Hayton able to recover the puck, get it to Nick Schmaltz in front with an open net. Schmaltz gets his eighth of the season from Hayton and Chychrun at 14:34. That pulled the Coyotes within 4-2, but then the Ducks with an empty net goal at 16:39. Jakob Silfverberg did a good job gaining the red line before putting a puck toward the net. It was wide, but the carom off the end boards right onto the stick of Anaheim's Adam Henrique, who buried it for his 17th goal of the season, Henrik, tying Trevor Zegras for the team goal-scoring lead, also extending his scoring streak to six games. Silverberg, the lone assist, that put the finishing touches on a 5-2 Ducks victory.
All right, let's bring in Josh Spruster, who's back at our studios, and I'm sure he enjoyed the victory here. We did too. Josh, overall, what did you think of their performance?
Well, you know, overall, I have to say it was very satisfying to see the Ducks go wire to wire and really take command of the game. I mean, there were points where Arizona had some momentum, but the Ducks were in charge the whole way, and that's been very rare this season. It's great to see a healthy shot total of 43 shots on net. It's our second highest shot total of the year. A whole bunch of guys getting multiple shots. Simon Benoit gets six hits. We block 18 shots. So a good night, really. I thought that the game started on time for the Ducks, and you know, they carried it to the end, and they held off a little bit of a challenge, and nice five-goal, healthy goal total, and not a lot to not like here tonight for the Ducks. We needed this one.
Yeah, and I think Cam Fowler made an interesting point during our interview, too, when he talked about the fact that Ducks had been here in Tempe for a couple of days, Anaheim arriving Saturday night after the game in Buffalo earlier that day, with a day off on Sunday, and then practiced yesterday, were clearly ready to play tonight. I thought the Ducks, even though they scored only one time in the first period, I thought they really kind of took control from the outset with one of their better first periods this season, and then obviously built on that from there. The Coyotes did press Anaheim at times. We mentioned the shots on goal at one point being 30-12 in favor of Anaheim. That really turned around as the game went forward, but I guess to some extent that's probably human nature. When you build the big lead, you're going to let down a little bit, and the Coyotes trying to salvage something out of this. And it'll be interesting Saturday night when the Coyotes come to Anaheim, because this game will be fresh in their mind, so the Ducks will need to be ready. In between, though, we've got a big one Thursday night in Denver against the defending champs.
All right, Josh Brewster, what do you guys have back there in Southern California as far as coming up here on all your post-game, your phone calls, things like that? It's got to be some listeners tonight want to call in and congratulate the team on a nice effort.
Certainly hope so. 714-940-2888. My guest tonight is Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. It's going to be a good time, and we have a nice victory to talk about, so give us a call right here on Duck Calls.
All righty. Well, good luck with that. I'll just ask Dan what a final question on to Denver, Colorado. You know what's nice? We knew this was the longest road trip of the year, six games, 13 days. Ducks have won a couple of games, and I think that's a positive thing moving forward.
Yeah, and, you know, let's be real here. The Colorado Avalanche present a huge challenge, even though they have not had a great start to the season. They are still the defending Stanley Cup champions. They still have an awful lot of talent on that team. So by no means is that an easy game for the Ducks. But the Ducks will go into it with a 2-2-1 record on this road trip. Coach Dallas Eakins mentioned at the outset of this trip that really your initial goal on any lengthy road trip is if you can come home with one more point than the number of games you play, then you consider it a success. Well, the Ducks have that opportunity Thursday night in Denver to make that happen. Again, it won't be easy, but at least the Ducks have put themselves in position to have a pretty solid trip.
All righty. We'll be on the air from Denver, Colorado on Thursday night, and then, of course, be home to take on the same Arizona Coyote team at 7 o'clock Saturday at Honda Center. I want to thank everybody involved with the broadcast tonight. Of course, Cash Hibbler, the big guy at Skyview in the state of Arizona, on site, did a terrific job. Brian Jewett setting us up here in a rink that's a little different than what we're normally used to, but we got to do the game, and hopefully the fans enjoyed it. And just everybody involved with the broadcast, for Dan Wood and Josh Brewster, I'm Steve Carroll. Again, the final, Ducks 5, Coyotes 2. Stay tuned for Josh and Duck Calls, and it's coming up right after this timeout on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Sometimes you just need an uplifting song to brighten your day. And that's where TuneIn's curated Mix Light Station comes in. Every day, we're playing a mood-boosting selection of today's best adult contemporary tracks from your favorite artists like Adele.
Long
Maroon 5, Coldplay, and more. Also, you can soundtrack your day with good vibes only. Check out TuneIn now.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you definitely are, then you have to check out TuneIn. The all-in-one audio platform brings all your favorite sports content together in one place. That's live broadcasts like this one, plus local sports talk. But it's way more than that. If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll get the best audio sports package available. With live play-by-play of every other NHL game and the top college football games.
The double pass here. Back to Hall. Got a bevy of blockers in front of him. Hall with a house call.
Touchdown. ESPN Radio, completely commercial-free.
That you can still wait and take a wait-and-see approach. But when you're 73-9, and when an argument
plus is being ad-free made music and news just to sweeten the pot. So, are you ready for the ultimate sports audio package? Check out TuneIn Premium now.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks postgame show on DuckStream. Powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888 tonight. Ducks 5, Coyotes 2. Yes, that's what we like. 2-2-1 now on this road trip. It was really good to see a good 60 minutes starting on time. Late in the first period, the Ducks take charge. They kill a penalty to Ryan Strome, and then, bang, Frank Vetrano gets his eighth goal of the season. He needed that one. He's been good of late, and the Ducks start to roll. Cam Fowler, a great night, two goals and an assist for Cam Fowler, and, of course, Troy Terry, his first goal in 16 games. Lots to like here, and, of course, we led after two periods. We are now 5-0-1. Leading after two. So it's great to see the Ducks take charge. You're listening to Duck Calls. Give me a call, 714-940-2888 right here on DuckStream. The midpoint of the game, the shots were 29-12 in favor of the Ducks, and we were up 3-0. Lots to like. I mean, look, you have the second highest shot total of the season. We had 44 at San Jose in a shootout win on November 1st. But tonight, 43 shots for us. Good stuff. We also had a power play goal. Great to see us take advantage of a five-minute slashing major to Juuso Valimaki, which earned him a game misconduct after he slashed Max Jones. But, boy, I'll tell you something. Cam Fowler tonight, really, really motoring out there tonight. He drives the center lane, gets the 3-0 goal. It's a power play goal. You know we've needed those. They've been in short supply. And then he gets the 4-0 goal. So he gets the game winner. Then he gets the 4-0 goal and a nice play from Frank Vetrano and Kevin Shattenkirk. It's his second of the night, and he helps put it away. The zone entries tonight were really good, and the defensive zone exits were good. Number of rush chances tonight for the Ducks. So they took full advantage of a club that has faced similar struggles to what the Ducks have been through. And you've got to like this. Trevor Zegras and Adam Henrique now, six-game point streaks. And as I mentioned, Troy Terry, a goal, seven assists for 8 points in his last few games here. It's his first goal in his last 16 games. Great stuff tonight for Troy Terry. So, lots to like around here. Anthony Stolarz, real nice effort. It's his fourth win of the season. And, you know, made a bunch of nice saves. I think that we made it easy for him tonight. I don't think he had to fight too hard to see the puck tonight. So, a lot of good defensive zone play. Simon Benoit, six shots on net. So give me a call, 714-940-2888 right here on Duck Calls on Duck Stream. What do you think of Mullen Arena? I'll tell you what, you know, it's interesting. It doesn't look that strange on television because on television, you know, you really only see the lower bowl. So, you know, hey, listen, if it works, if they can justify it from a business sense, it's an interesting, it's got to be a very nice, interesting and intimate setting there. So, very good for the Ducks tonight. I'll tell you what, we had 18 shots blocked. We blocked 18 shots, that is. As I mentioned, Simon Benoit, six hits. And we took full advantage in the second period. It's another strong second period. So that started to look a little bit better of late. In Columbus, it looked better in a 5-3 win. We actually looked good through 40 minutes in Buffalo, even though we lost. But then tonight, the second period, which really has been the bane of our existence, we outshot Arizona 16-11, and we scored the only two goals of the second period. So that's a differential that really has to turn around. And so the middle of the game, the Ducks were very much in it. So lots to like here. Fight tonight, Max Comtois and Josh Brown went at it. I like Max Comtois. What do you think of Max Comtois on the line with Trevor Zegras and Ryan Strome? I think that's been working out very well. Comtois playing a little simpler game, just trying to get to the front of the net. And I think it's been working out pretty well for him. He looks better, and hopefully the points will start to flow. But to see the Ducks drive most of the play in the game, aside from a few chapters where Arizona started to surge, the Ducks really had a handle on this game. They did not chase the game tonight at all. So 43 shots on net total for the Ducks. So lots to like here in Duckland. What else have I got for you? Adam Henrique, of course, his 17th goal of the year. It's in an empty net. Jakob Silfverberg shoots it off the end boards. Got to wonder whether that was a pass or whether it was intentional or if he just missed the net. But Adam Henrique, 17 goals on the season, and he has been very much a guy who has held things together here for the Ducks. The Ducks, despite their struggles, you always see a good effort. They're not dogging it. There's just nights they get beat. But tonight, they really took it to a club that has faced similar struggles in Arizona. And we will see what happens with Arizona, whether Jacob Chychrun is dealt away, what's going to happen with them at the deadline. It's all going to unfold soon. But a good 60-minute effort tonight. And really, I think the best thing to come out of tonight, other than the victory, is Troy Terry getting on the score sheet, getting a goal, get his confidence back. He's had a lot of nice playmaking lately, a lot of assists. But you got to like what Troy Terry did tonight with that goal. It was long overdue. You knew it was coming, but tonight he managed to get it done. And he really walked Valimaki on that play to make it 2-0. So good stuff. Good stuff all the way around. Let's take a little break here on Duck Calls, and I will be giving a call to Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, and we will be right back here on Duck Calls to talk to Dave McCarthy. 5-2, Ducks win. Ducks win. I'll be right back.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's the sound of Karen getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers are providing her mom with a portable oxygen tank. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you too with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services.
Hey Ducks fans, wish it wasn't so hard to eat healthy? With Fresh and Lean, it's never been easier. You get organically sourced meals made by top-notch chefs, ready in under 3 minutes. No fluff, no junk, just real food made with real ingredients. Fresh and Lean has served over 25 million meals nationwide, and they're based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order, plus free shipping. Fresh and Lean, it's better when it's real.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/ducks.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Get ready to go orange for Orangewood on Friday, February 17th, as the Ducks take on the LA Kings at Honda Center. Join the Anaheim Ducks Foundation for a pregame reception in the Brewery X Beer Garden, as well as an opportunity to mingle with Ducks players after the game. For more information, please visit AnaheimDucks.com/fundraising. AnaheimDucks.com/fundraising. All right, my guest tonight, 5-2 tonight, the Ducks, of course, over Arizona. My guest tonight is Mr. Dave McCarthy from Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. He's a great guest, and it's great to have him back on Duck Calls. How you doing tonight, Dave?
Good, Josh. Thanks for having me back.
Well, thanks for joining me. Well, you picked a good night here in Duckland. It's 5-2 tonight, the Ducks over the Coyotes. And one satisfying aspect to this game is the Ducks started on time and took charge of the game late in the first and went wire to wire here. So we haven't had a lot of those games, but a nice healthy shot total and lots to like here. I think Duck fans should be happy tonight.
Yeah, I think they should tonight. As you said, it was really a game where I think the Ducks took control early on in this one and really never let the Yotes even have a thought of getting back into this game. So, you know, Cam Fowler stepping up offensively, Troy Terry chipping in. It was an impressive game from the Ducks, albeit the competition not exactly stiff, but you know, you take the good feelings where you can, I guess, this year, right, Josh? Because they've been few and far between, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, and in fact, you're right. You know, it's good to see the Ducks play a good team game where they're passing well and they're aggressive against the other team's offense and they're generating rush chances. It's, you know, it's been a bit of a long season here, but you've got to take advantage when you can take advantage, and you're facing a club that is facing similar struggles. And, you know, tonight it was great to see Troy Terry get back on the horse here. He had gone 16 games without a goal. So from our perspective, Troy Terry is a guy who we're really looking to for the present and the future. So it was good to see Troy Terry get back on the score sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really impressed with his game a year ago, and I thought he had a really big breakthrough season. But unfortunately, it hasn't carried through to the same extent this year, and he's down dramatically. I mean, like, he's not even on pace for 25 goals this year, and he had 37 a year ago. So disappointing in that sense. But, you know, oftentimes when collectively as a group you're not having a lot of success, you see guys' numbers drop, and then you can sit here and say, well, is the guy's numbers dropping because the group collectively isn't having success, or is the group not having success collectively because guys throughout the lineup's numbers are dropping? Like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? But, you know, in this case, Troy Terry, you're right, Josh, is still expected to be a big part of the Ducks' future, though. You know, and you want to see him continue to get back to the trajectory that he was on sort of a year ago. If he can have a strong second half of the season, that would be something that's positive and something to build on heading into next season. But, you know, I still am a little bit, I guess, perplexed would be the word when I look at this Ducks team, because I don't know about you. I was expecting better from this group coming into the year than we've really seen. And, you know, I don't have to tell you and the listeners, but you know, a year ago on this date, I think the Ducks were still battling with the Golden Knights for first place in the Pacific Division until the bottom really fell out. You know, and after making some additions in the off season by going out and getting Ryan Strome and bringing in a couple of pieces on the back end in Dmitry Kulikov and John Klingberg, you know, coupled with the play of guys like Troy Terry, And guys like Trevor Zegras from a year ago who seem to take steps, and still some veterans on the team like Adam Henrique up front and Kevin Shattenkirk on the back end. You know, and then you drop Mason McTavish into the mix, who was a guy coming into the season that had a lot of expectations, albeit he's only 19, and you got to be careful when it comes to 19-year-olds. But I did expect better from Anaheim this year, so I'm a little bit perplexed, disappointed, I think would be an accurate way of putting it. And now Pat Verbeek and company have got, I think, some difficult decisions to make in the off season here in terms of sort of which direction they try to go.
Well, let's talk about two guys who they represent two different things. The Adam Henrique, on one hand, represents a bit of a question mark. He's at $5.8 million for this year and next year. You wonder whether a player like that would be up for trade. You know, it would be a hockey trade if you did it. I would not want to see him go anywhere. He's been one of the most consistent performers. On the other hand, Trevor Zegras, you know, he's been hot of late. He's got a point streak going. He's got a six-game point streak, as does Adam Henrique. Why don't you give me your take on Zegras and Henrique? I think Zegras is, in a struggling year, I think that he's been one of the real solutions here in Anaheim. And then another solution guy is Adam Henrique. He's got 17 goals on the year. But let me ask you what you think about the prospects for his continued employment here in Anaheim as we get closer to the deadline.
Yeah, well, let's start with Adam Henrique. You know, at the point that the Ducks are at right now, and like they've got a lot of contracts, especially up front, locked in for next year. Obviously, Maxime Comtois needs a deal. Troy Terry needs a deal. But really, other than that, anybody of consequence is locked in. And then you got to decide what you're doing with Trevor Zegras, obviously, as well. And when I say what you're doing, he's not going anywhere, but what kind of a deal you get him signed to. I think Adam Henrique at this point, as you say, he's got a year left on his deal. But, you know, 5.8 is not an unpalatable number. And especially if the Ducks chip in some of that cap by retaining, you know, whatever the number might be, I think this is a guy that would be interesting for a number of different teams that are contending. I mean, I look around the league right now and I see a number of teams that do intend to contend that have some holes up the middle of the ice. Colorado, I think, is a team that's looking. I think Carolina is a team that is looking for a centerman, you know, and in their case, maybe somebody even better than an Adam Henrique, but, you know, there's only so many guys to go around. If Bo Horvat's in play, like, we'll see what happens with Ryan O'Reilly in St. Louis. But if you end up short on either of those two options, I think Adam Henrique is a guy that could really come in and give serviceable, dependable, productive minutes to either a second or a third line on the contending team. And to get a year left on his deal, I think you're willing to pay maybe a little bit more because he got some term there at a number that's going to be really manageable. You know, say they eat 25%, you know, that brings it down to around $4 million. That's pretty good value for what Adam Henrique is still being able to produce. So I see more value at this point for Anaheim in trading a guy like Adam Henrique, just based on what he's been able to do and produce. And as you said, he's been a very consistent player for the last number of years. Trevor Zegras, you know, obviously he's not going anywhere. He's a guy that the Ducks are expecting to grow into essentially becoming a leader on this team, if he's not that already. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with his deal, though. What kind of a number it comes in at, and what kind of a term it comes in at. Because to me, I'm having a hard time putting my finger on an appropriate number for Trevor Zegras. I mean, is the 3 years times 7 a year deal that, for instance, the Islanders gave to Matty Barzal a few years ago coming out of entry level, is that fair? Is seven even too much right now? Like, I wouldn't go higher than that. But, you know, then it comes down to a negotiation where if you're Trevor Zegras, you say, okay, well, you know, maybe that's fair now, but I think I'm going to be a $9 million player in 2 years. So I don't want to be shortchanging myself. So, you know, you need to pay me now type thing. That's going to be a tough one to arrive at a number. I'm still not quite sure where that's going to come in at yet.
Yeah, should be interesting. Trevor Zegras, 17 goals, 24 assists, 41 points in 48 games. And, yeah, it'll be interesting whether it's, you know, a nice, healthy bridge deal at a really nice number or whether they decide or whether Trevor Zegras says, hey, I want to do 8 years. You know, we'll see how that all shakes out. Tonight, you know what, let's turn our attention to Cam Fowler, and it'll give you a chance to talk a little bit about our defense, which is, you know, it's been a little rough here throughout the season. But I got to tell you, Dave, I bring this up quite often. I really believe that on a club that has struggled to score goals for a few seasons, you take a look at Cam Fowler, 2 goals, 1 assist tonight for 3 points. He's up to 7 goals on the year. Dave, I really think that if he was on a club, and he will soon hopefully be on an Anaheim Ducks club that scores a lot more goals next season, the season after, and he'll receive the fruits of those labors. But, you know, I look at who wins the Norris Trophy, Dave, and it's mostly guys who play on clubs that score a lot of goals. I'm going to come out with some of these statistics. I'll put it up on Twitter. But it really is true. The best defensemen usually look their best when they're on clubs that score. There's no Norris Trophy winners coming from the bottom third of the offensive rankings. So I take a look at Cam Fowler, and I'll tell you, I think that you're talking about an elite defenseman. I just don't think, Dave, that because of the struggles the Ducks have had in the last few years scoring goals, that he's been able to show as much of his creativity or get as much attention because he's not on deep playoff runs. I don't know if you would agree with me here, but I really think he's kind of an overlooked elite defenseman who's, you know, he's carrying a lot of the water for the Anaheim defense.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's hard to believe that he's going to be 32 next year, isn't it? I mean, to me, it feels like he just came into the league, but he's going to be 32 next year. I don't know if I'd go as far to put elite on Cam Fowler. Like, I think he's a good defenseman at this point in his career, but I don't think he should be your best defenseman at this point in his career. Like, I think he slots really nicely into a role where he can take on sort of second pairing minutes. Maybe not necessarily have to take on the heavy defensive matchups all game long. So you see what I'm saying there? Like, if you have a guy who's better than him on your depth chart, that guy, whomever that might be, can take on those heavier defensive minutes. And then you can use Cam Fowler in more of an offensive situation. Because I'm with you. I think he does have some offensive skill set and some offensive creativity. But I think right now with the Ducks, as you say, he's having to take on a lot of the heavier minutes, and as a result, isn't getting the opportunity to show his offensive skill set to the extent that he has it to use. So, you know, that's sort of how I see Cam Fowler at this point. If they had in Anaheim right now, oh, I don't know, a Hampus Lindholm. I hate to say that, but you know what I mean? Like a guy like that ahead of him on the depth chart, I think that would really help a guy like Cam Fowler out. That's sort of where I see him at this point in his career. Not as a guy that if I were a contending team and needed a number one defenseman, I'm not going out and getting Cam Fowler because I don't think that's his skill set. To take on those type of heavy defensive minutes. If I need a guy in a second pairing, yeah, I'd be interested in Cam Fowler. I think that's where he slots best with the Ducks. But the problem is for Anaheim, you know, where do you come up with a guy that can take on those minutes at this point? Those guys don't grow on trees. They don't really have somebody in the system. That's going to be the tough part for the Ducks moving forward.
All right, let's turn our attention to some NHL stuff here, Dave. Of course, the big story right now, of course, is the very strangely handled dismissal of Bruce Boudreau in Vancouver, and Rick Tocchet arrives right now in the third period. It's 4-2 Canucks. This is in Vancouver over the Blackhawks tonight. What did you think of the handling of this whole Bruce Boudreau thing, and do you think there's a coherent vision for the future in Vancouver? It really seems to me that there's a lot of warranted skepticism about how all this is going down and what is the plan for the future with the Vancouver Canucks. And obviously there's some interesting pieces who may be moving out of there to other clubs before the season is over. But Rick Tocchet comes in about almost not quite two-thirds of the way, halfway through the season. What do you think of how this has all been handled? I think there's a lot of loose ends here in Vancouver.
Well, how the dismissal was handled, I would call it a masterclass in mismanagement. I thought it couldn't have been handled more poorly. So a number of different things here. Number one, when you handle anybody like that, like it's within the purview of the manager to decide to make a coaching change. That's not an issue here. What's at issue is how it was dealt with. And when you treat anybody like that, it's just a bad look on you. It's a bad look on your organization, especially when it's a guy who's as well respected as Bruce is. I mean, you guys know him well in Anaheim. He's been around for a long, long time. He's had a lot of success. He treats people well. You know, nobody deserves to get treated that way, especially a guy like Bruce. This is not, you know, someone's 39-year-old coach from the ECHL serving on an interim basis until you decide whether or not to give him a full job. You know what I mean? Like, it's Bruce Boudreau. You shouldn't do that to the guy. Secondly, it puts your management group in a bad light now when you handle a well-respected coach like that, and a coach who was really loved in the market. Now you guys look like the bad guys, and it makes it that much more difficult to earn the, respect of the fan base would be the word. And then three, sets a new guy up in a real tight spot, because as I joked on my show on Sunday, it's like introducing mom's new boyfriend after the divorce of the kids when the kids still miss dad. Like, it's not the guy's fault, but he's certainly not in a position where the fan base is all too willing to receive him at this point. So it was just handled really, really poorly over the last number of weeks. The other question you bring up, and I'm with you, I asked somebody this today because I'm wondering if they had an answer, because I don't. What is the plan in Vancouver? And just because you're not a good team doesn't mean you don't have an answer to that question. If you ask me what's the plan in Arizona, I can articulate what the plan in Arizona is. They're trying to build up. They're trying to accumulate a lot of elite caliber young players that are in the same winning window that in 2 or 3 years from now, we'll all get to the NHL level. They'll have money to spend. They'll supplement with veterans. They'll move into a new building, and they hope at that point they'll hit the ground running and build towards something that'll be a sustainable contender for years to come. That is the plan in Arizona under Bill Armstrong. What is the plan in Vancouver under Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford? I don't know. Best I could tell you is, well, you know, maybe trade a Brock Besser here and get something for him, and, you know, see if we can't sign Elias Pettersson just because he's been here and we should probably sign him. And we got to try to get ourselves out from under some bad contracts, but that's not going to be easy, and we'll probably have to, you know, take on some bad contracts to get out from some bad contracts. And geez, maybe if we put all this together and we'll sign an Ilya Mikheyev here for a lot of money, and we'll, you know, bring a guy from Russia over there and plug him in, and maybe he can give us something. And if all of that comes together, you know, maybe we can squeeze into the playoffs by the time it's all said and done. But really, yep, no one is looking at us as a Stanley Cup contender. So, you know, if that's what the answer is, and to the best of my ability, I think that is what the answer to that question is, that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence from a fan base.
Yeah.
Fans are willing to go through tough times, Josh, as long as they're communicated with clearly. And right now, I don't think there is clear messaging in Vancouver.
You know, it's interesting. Let me ask you kind of a two-part question here. Is the name Andrew Brunette comes to mind when I see a coaching vacancy. Do you think after what he did with the Panthers, now tonight the Panthers lose in overtime to the Penguins on a Chris Letang goal, but the Panthers have not set the world on fire, have not met expectations. And so here's the question. Well, where do you think the Panthers are headed? And do you think Andrew Brunette, their former coach, is kind of a coach in waiting, like he's an associate in New Jersey under Lindy Ruff right now, but do you think that maybe the next coach that falls, wherever that is, might be Andrew Brunette, might be one of the top contenders, considering what he did with the Panthers, and everybody's seen how it's looked in stark relief when he was dismissed in favor of Paul Maurice in Florida?
Yeah, I think Andrew Brunette will get another opportunity to be a head coach if he wants to. Clearly, the job that he did last year, taking over from Joel Quenneville under really difficult circumstances, was very impressive. He led the Panthers to a President's Trophy. Look, I get why Florida felt they wanted a more experienced coach behind the bench this year, because they thought they were going to be a team that is going to contend for a Stanley Cup. And I think they looked at Tampa Bay as the team that is standing in their way of at least getting out of the Eastern Conference. And I thought if there's one area of criticism that Andrew Brunette was due last year, it was in that second round series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, where I thought he got supremely outcoached by John Cooper. So, you know, I see why they made the change. But I also think that given the work that he did last year, he will get another chance to be a head coach. I would be surprised, though, Josh, if it's this year. I don't see him leaving the Devils this season. To me, it doesn't make sense. New Jersey's a good team right now. And you know, I'm of the mind, whether it's coaches, players, whatever it is, don't worry so much about your individual numbers or anything like that. If you're on a team that consistently does well, there will be options for you in the summertime. Look at any team that wins the Stanley Cup. Suddenly, you know, third line guys are getting second line type deals because people associate them with winning. So right. If I was Andrew Brunette, I'd stick with the Devils right now and see what kind of a run they can go on. I think it'll set them up well for opportunities come the summertime. But for the Panthers, I've been really disappointed. While I'm disappointed, maybe I'm not surprised either that they've had a dip. I just didn't think it was going to be to this extent. And when you look at what happened in the off season. A lot of turnover on that roster. Obviously, the Tkachuk deal was the headliner of the activity that they had in the offseason. Tkachuk out, Huberdeau, or Tkachuk in, Huberdeau out. Tkachuk's been very good. That's not been the issue there. They also lost Mackenzie Weegar, didn't replace him. They lost Mason Marchment, didn't replace him. Ben Sherratt out the door, didn't replace him. And they traded a first-round pick to Montreal, which, heaven forbid the lottery balls fall in the Florida Panthers' favor, theoretically, they'll end up having to give that pick to the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, to the Canadiens.
You know, Anthony Duclair got hurt. They didn't have an adequate replacement. And the goaltending's been poor. So a lot of guys that played important roles on that team last year left and did not get replaced. So when I think you add all that up, I'm not surprised that there's been a bit of a dip. I just honestly didn't think it would be to the extent that it has been.
Dave, let's double back to in my last couple minutes with you here. I'm up against it here. Let's talk directly to Duck fans right now. You know, I've had a sense, and it's interesting. We've had real good crowds. I think the attendance in Anaheim has been good this year. You know, and I'm I look at this club between Mason McTavish, Trevor Zegras, Troy Terry coming along and things like this. And, you know, we've really missed Jamie Drysdale. There's a sense, I think, in Anaheim, despite all the struggles, that I think people are generally optimistic about what's in the pipeline and what's here now and what's coming. You know, Olin Zellweger, Pavel Mintyukov, players like this, Nathan Gauthier, who was, successful with up there in Canada in the juniors right now, and he's a big kid. So what would you say to Ducks fans right now as you're looking for the last, 40% of the season right now? Because I think that deep down, despite the frustration, and don't get me wrong, there's frustration here in Duckland, but I think there's a general underlying optimism about what's in the pipeline and the future looking bright.
Yeah, I think there is reason for optimism, to be sure. You know, you brought up Jamie Drysdale. It's unfortunate that he got hurt early in the season, really a lost year of development for Jamie. But, you know, we were talking earlier in the chat about finding a guy that can come in and take on heavier minutes. You hope that is a guy like Jamie Drysdale down the road. And again, next year it might be, again, too much of an ask. But you hope, you know, 2 or 3 years from now that Drysdale really grows into that role once he's 22, 23 years of age. There's definitely the potential for that to be the case. I think he's that skilled. I think he has the potential to be that good. So you've got a nice piece on the back end, to be sure. You've got some nice pieces up front in Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry and Mason McTavish. You're going to get another good piece as well this coming summer in the entry draft, because you're going to get a good pick in Anaheim. So, you know, part of the cornerstone of building good teams is to accumulate some quality young pieces to build around. And I think there are those pieces there. And again, like we talked about earlier, I think there's a couple of guys on that roster, guys like Adam Henrique, a guy like maybe a Jacob Silverberg, a guy like maybe a Kevin Shattenkirk, who's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, that you might be able to move and get more assets back, be it young players or draft picks. So Pat Verbeek is going to have some tools to work with, and that's a good thing. But I think what I would say, my departing message would be patience. I know it's been a bit of a rough go in Anaheim for quite some time now, really. But I think there's going to need to be another year or two of leaner times before you can really start to expect the Ducks to move forward. Because there's a number of things that this Ducks team needs. Chief among them is growth by the young players into guys that are not just guys that put up maybe nice numbers or make the highlight reel every now and again, but become good, solid, sustainably consistent players at the NHL level where it all translates into wins. And I think there's still some more work there to be done to round out some of the games of the players that we mentioned, the younger guys. So be patient another year or two, but I think there's enough tools there that Pat Verbeek's going to have the chance to build this into a team that has the opportunity to contend for a playoff spot in the Pacific Division, you know, hopefully within a couple of years.
All right, Dave, I'm going to ask you two real quick rapid-fire questions. Just give me a very, very quick answer here. Who in the East can topple the Bruins? Name the team. Name one.
I would say Carolina. I would say Carolina. Tampa Bay. Both really good options. Tampa Bay, until you beat the man, I think you are the man. Tampa's gone to the Cup Final 3 consecutive years. And I think Carolina plays a very similar style to Boston, very up-tempo. They forecheck like no other, much like the Bruins. I could see them beating them at their own game.
All right, Dave, another quick one. Who wins the Pacific? Because I think there's some surprises. I think it's an unexpected time in the Pacific. Seattle, really coming on well beyond their years, so to speak. The Kings are tough on a regular basis. Vegas has been up there, but they've been a little shaky lately. Who wins the Pacific Division? Name the team.
The Edmonton Oilers. I think they've got the most talent of any team in the Pacific. If their goaltending can start to get it together, I think they need a defenseman at the deadline in the top four. That would really help. But there's no team in the Pacific that has more talent than the Edmonton Oilers. And they're also getting some contributions from some of the to borrow a term that a former general manager of your team, Brian Burke, likes to use, the grunts, right? Guys like Zach Hyman, who's probably playing better than a grunt, but a guy like him, guy like Evander Kane, guy like Klim Kostner has come in, been able to add a bit of a scoring punch, and a guy that impacts the game when he's not scoring. I think they're the most well-rounded. Their goaltending holds up. They can get a defenseman at the deadline. Edmonton should win the Pacific Division.
Dave McCarthy, SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Dave, always a pleasure to listen to you on Sirius, and always a great treat to have you here on Duck Calls, and thanks so much for hopping in tonight.
I'm happy to be on with you, Josh. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Dave McCarthy. All right, folks, if you want to jump in my last couple minutes here, 714-940-2888. Let me get you some out-of-town scores, get you caught up before I get out of here. If you want to comment, 714-940-2888 right here on Duck Stream. Bruins 4, Canadiens 2. The Bruins are now 33 games over 500. How's that for you? Penguins 7, Panthers 6. Chris Letang scores in overtime. Kevin Fiala scores in overtime. It's the Kings 4, the Flyers 3. We just mentioned the Lightning. The Lightning are 15 games above 500. It's 4-2 tonight at home over the Minnesota Wild. Our old buddy Corey Perry gets 2 goals tonight. Red Wings 3, Sharks 2. It's Andrew Kopp in overtime for Detroit. Devils 3, Golden Knights 2. This is in New Jersey. Dougie Hamilton's 13th goal of the year. Boy, quite a defenseman there. Buffalo 5, St. Louis 3. Predators 2, Jets 1. And the Avalanche over the Capitals 3-2 in Darcy Kemper's return to Colorado, where he won the Cup. And then finally, we have a final on this one. It's Vancouver 5, Chicago 2 in Rick Tocchet's first game as coach of the Vancouver Canucks. All right, I will talk to you Thursday. Let's get out of here. Talk to you Thursday. It's Colorado. 5:30 is the pregame. 6 o'clock is the game. Ducks win tonight 5-2 over Arizona. Enjoy it tonight, Duck fans. I'll talk to you Thursday. Have a good night.
Shoot, score!
Hockey is intense. Looking to lower that heart rate between Ducks games? Check out Calm Radio right here on TuneIn. That's right. The same folks who bring you meditation techniques are now bringing their Zen-friendly instrumental music stations to TuneIn. Stream soothing solo acoustic guitar, beautiful classical arrangements, and more, so that you're calm, cool, and collected for the next Ducks stream game.
Shoot, score!
Hear it here on TuneIn.
For Zegras in, shoot, score!
Are you big on sports? What are we talking about? You're a Ducks fan. Of course you are. So keep yourself in the game on all the sports coverage you love with TuneIn's exclusive Believe 24/7 station, bringing you nonstop Believe podcast content in one handy around-the-clock radio station, so you can stream hot takes and game-changing moments curated just for you while you're waiting for the next Ducks stream game. Listen now, right here on TuneIn.
A chart-topping banger in the best way to bring good vibes to your day. And on TuneIn's Today's Hits, we've always got our finger on the pulse of what's hot in music. Like the latest tracks from Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, and so many more. Soundtrack your day with a full selection, Today's Hits. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action,
drive, score!
Breaking news from the sources you trust.
I think Mark is overreacting to this.
Music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between. TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at PDFTron.com. Let's go, Ducks!
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% Mountain Spring Water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% Mountain Spring Water.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Thanks for listening to this exclusive presentation of Anaheim Ducks Hockey.
Seagrass scores!